Brady is the goat.
That's a sad but true story.
I was going to try and do the goat, but I was too busy like giggling to myself, and it would come out weird. Not that I like that skit, but it's still funny.
I love that skit.
Yeah, Goat Boy's pretty funny.
All right, I got to open a channel here.
I did enjoy the fact that everyone who scored for the Bucks was someone who like did not start the year on that team.
Right. What was it? Gronk, Fournette, and AB?
And the kicker.
Oh, right.
None of them were on the team for the 2019 season. They're all brand new for the 2020 season. Brady showed up and he said, all right, all your players suck. Go get me all new players.
Godwin and Evans are spectacular.
That is true. I love Chris Godwin. He's a good player.
Yeah.
But yeah, that first touchdown where Gronk could have like taken a week and a day to walk into the end zone, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, this is like old school Gronk here.
Since our conversation last night, I actually know at least where that player played previously.
Who's that, Godwin?
Yeah.
Western Pennsylvania? Oh, I thought you were talking about Gronk.
No. No one cares about him. He's weird.
Although I do know where he played previously as well. You can't avoid that name. Come on.
White Tiger.
Good job, Ian.
Nobody's going to join the channel.
Man, I'm worried. Is Sartude okay? Is he in the hospital?
I hope not.
Like, is the Masked Singer running long? There he is. Masked Singer must have ran late.
Is that an updated infographic?
I suspect that it, instead of Mysterious Stranger,
yes, it
the
is.
Picture is of whoever, of Android Jim or some gym-related thing.
it's a Android in a gym. it's pretty slick.
I better open it. All right.
Yeah, for a minute, I thought Elizabeth Olsen did something wrong, that she was the crash this week, but yep. I get now that, you know, it crashed the internet. I
get it, too, now that it was explained to me. I even took the time to watch that episode last night, because Jared's like, hey, let's talk about that episode. And I was like, I haven't seen it yet. He's like, go watch it! It's amazing!
It's been a good show.
Pretty good.
It has been a very good show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. We got any private jokes? I don't know. You want to tell us some old schooly references that just you and Sartu can get to, and we'll see what we can find out about Fofobos. We'll just have a private little intimate show here.
Unfortunately, I will, you know, we are recording, so.
Right. I already gave Ray all the work to do today. Let's try to
keep this
smooth. You
don't want any of these facts to come out. All right. I get it.
Yeah. Ian's computer rebooted while recording last night, so.
In the middle of the show.
That's not cool. Yeah, that happened to me once.
Yep.
That bones up all kind of things.
I don't know. Ray says he was able to recover it. I believe him. Yeah. He's pretty reliable when it comes to a producer.
It turned out all right, but I was worried.
All right.
He's like the Jimmy Iovine of Marvel Puzzle Quest producers.
Is that the guy on American Idol nowadays?
Does he work on American Idol now? I think he's the guy who produced Dre and Eminem. And
yeah, but I think he works on American Idol now.
Oh, does he? Good for him. That sounds like a song.
There is... The commercials always show me some guy that I don't know who he is with the judges.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a nice soft gig. I hope so. Although whoever is responsible for Claudia Conaway being on the show this season, shame on them.
I don't know who Kellyanne Conway's daughter.
Yes.
I was like, who? He was on Idol from seasons 10 through 12.
Oh, cool.
I have no idea what number season we're on now. I haven't watched it ever since my boy Simon Cowell left. It's just not the same show.
Sure.
I have not seen the new commercial for Wanda. I don't even know what you're referring to.
No. Yeah. Spoilers.
Oh, no, not spoilers.
If there's a commercial, it can't be spoilers. Like, it's already out there.
Yeah, it can be. All right. Let's talk about this stuff.
Okay.
Do it, Doug. We're ready.
True believers, welcome to the 280th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. Only 20 weeks left to fulfill Ian's dream.
Allegedly.
This is the week of February 10th to the 17th in the year of our COVID. And your 5-day 4-star crash! the Titans. On the 6th, we had Karnak carnacking himself to victory. Did you Karnak your way to victory?
No, my Karnak doesn't look like he will achieve victory. I will try it once before, after the show.
You said that last week.
That I would try it once?
Yes.
No. Well, I still haven't tried it. I got a 1-2-1, level 70. I don't know that that's going to get it done against Samurai Daken.
I ended up not firing any powers, so I don't know if that gives you hope or not. But, I mean, his what, turn 3 or 4, whenever his critical tiles come out automatically, that did a ton of damage, and then, yeah, the match damage just finished him off, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, if I, yeah, I'll put some ISO in him, and I'll, I got a couple more hours. I'm not going to try it now. I haven't tried it yet, but I will try it.
Yeah,
let you guys know.
1-2-1 doesn't fill me with optimism, but
no. Hope is a hope is a world that I travel in very lightly.
All right. Coming up next is Imperious Rex versus Android Jim. We hear
yes,
he's not good, but I'm sure I can win.
No, I'm confident that I will lose that one.
Yeah,
yeah. You're 2-0-1. I don't think it's going to cut it.
Yeah, Human Torch is he can be mean and yeah.
Yeah, Android Jim is not a weak character.
No.
And then on the 16th, it is the good old Red Hulk stealing all the green.
Yeah.
And smashing his hands together in victory.
For sure. He can't be stopped. Not against puny 3-star Hulk.
Yeah.
Samurai made a good point. We all have Red Hulk spec'd properly.
Wow. It must. That's because he's older and we've had time to adjust him and he's genuinely useful. Not to mention, there's really no argument about it.
Right.
Yeah, that red power is not that good.
He is a clear 355. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about the purple and the green.
Yeah.
In your storyland, Lost in Time is finishing up. That'll get you Mohawk, Cletus, and some Iceman shards. Placement is Bishop and some $5 Chuck. In Hearts of Darkness is next. Daredevil, Bishop, those Chuck shards. Placement is Throg and Scotty number 5. And then the next event is introducing that same self, Scotty number 5.
All right. So I'm going to have to, like, put a little effort into that one. I need me more Throg.
Yeah. And the Open Your Mind season, Night Shift is running. That'll get you gray suit and a Misty. Placement is Invisible Woman and some Dark Arc. Dark Arc?
Dark Arc.
Dark Arc is a good comic, but not the same as Doc Ock. Dark Arc is really good. Very much enjoy it. Colin Bunn. And your PvP, what do you call it, simulator is get your Switch, Colossus, and Scorpion, if you need more Scorpion.
I do?
Yeah. So in the news, hey, Puzzle Gauntlet was fun again.
Yes, it's has yet to be not fun. It was really good. There was,
it made me try and remember characters. I'm like, all right, yep. Who makes this kind of color?
Yep.
All right, let me think about this for a minute.
Yep, a lot of relearning, a lot of, some of them took some actual toy. Like, again, I had to learn what the enemy did in some of them.
Right.
Because I was running into some real issues and I just didn't understand why. I was like,
and they would steal away all your stuff and you're like, what the deuce?
Killmonger just kept setting me back and setting me back. I'm like, what's happening? Why does my AP keep disappearing? And that went on for 2 whole losses before I was like, fine, I'll read the powers. And then I was like, oh, that's what's happening. So I have to quickly, to the best of my ability, kill Killmonger. And then I can just hope that Karnak stays alive long enough for me to get 25 red AP or 30 red AP.
Yeah, it was a good time. Like, I saw a lot of complaints on Reddit about the fact that it was all AP based. But, you know, I like the fact that it was all together in eight, because it made you think in the same line of thought, right? Like you knew going in, all right, I have to do this type of character, somebody who generates blue or whatever. I thought it was really good.
I did too. Except, I liked it. It felt different.
Except for the She-Hulk node. I really didn't care for her being part of this.
I don't even remember what she was up to. Did she
she fires her stupid power and he takes away all your AP.
And
she does. I know what she does. I'm aware of her random ability that accidentally always takes away your top.
Exactly.
She-Hulk.
One time she fired that power and it didn't take away the color I needed.
Wow. Mm. But yeah. And I expect more Puzzle Gauntlets in the future. And, you know, there's plenty of room for variation.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a good change of pace.
I did too. I played the whole thing. I don't know that I've taken the time to equip my Royal Talon Fighter, but I was happy to have one.
Yeah, I didn't get any improvement, so I was a little disappointed in that, but
oh, see, I didn't have a Royal Talon Fighter going into it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I had one, but it just ended up being, yeah, duplicate for me. So
having one is great. I mean, it's so useful.
I don't even know what it does.
Okoye, so
Oh, if it works at Okoye, then I have no idea what it does.
It works with other people, but it really makes Okoye strong.
Last week we talked about Scotty number 5.
Yeah.
But now we have his details here.
Ooh.
So he is a 5-star hero X-Men mutant, a red, yellow, and green. So red power is called Phoenix Blast. That is 9 red. Deal damage and create 2 red 3-turn repeater tiles that destroy 1 green basic tile. Destroyed tiles deal damage and generate AP. As you go up in level, increase damage, increase damage, increase damage. At level 5, creates 3 of those repeater tiles.
Ooh.
But man, 3-turn repeater tiles? That's not fast.
No.
And you're only getting a little bit of green out of it. Power does not seem great.
Well, it does direct damage as well.
It does. Max level, it's 11,000 plus.
Okay, that's not, you know, knock your socks off in the 5-star world, but...
Yeah. This yellow power, however, seems like it's the winning power here. It's called Savior of Mutant Kind. When you fire this, it increases all Cyclops' teammates' match damage by 60%. For every 3 team-up AP you have, swaps a pair of basic tiles. Passively, if he has no teammates, you swap out his yellow and black match damage, they swap for each other, and the power becomes Dark Phoenix Unleashed. We'll get to that in a minute. As you level up yellow, that match damage goes up. So once you have it at level 4, and you fire it once, your match damage increases by 75%. You can do this repeatedly, assuming you can get a bunch of yellow.
What?
It stacks to 300%.
Wow.
So you gotta fire it 4 times. But if you get it fired 4 times, 5-star match damage at 300%?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It's not listed on the description, but I got confirmation from Patch that in the game, it will tell you that, yes, it stacks to 300%.
Hmm.
That seems significant.
Yeah. And then if you go up to level 5, it swaps a pair of basic tiles for each team-up AP you have. But so he's got a little bit of board shake, but really, it's all about cranking that match damage. Now, once his teammates are gone and you get Dark Phoenix Unleashed, this costs, however, a whopping 13 black.
Mm.
Not good with Okoye. Drain all your friendly team-up AP.
Well, okay.
And deal damage to the enemy team, plus additional damage for each AP drained in this way. When you max it out, it is 19,747 damage.
AOE? Plus,
yes.
Ugh.
And 19,747 plus 1731 for every team-up AP drained.
Wow.
And as a passive, he cannot be stunned when he's by himself. So if you could get that 13 black, he can fire a big AoE nuke.
Right. I like the fact that he can't be stunned, but only when he's by himself. That's fine. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's good. I don't know why Scott can't be stunned, but as a functioning power, that makes sense. You get down to one person and you get stunned. It's aggravating.
Yeah. And then his green power is called Disarming Gaze, which I think they ought to rename the power where he does the sexy Flanders, because that's really a disarming gaze. In any case, Disarming Gaze for 10 green. Stuns a random enemy for 2 turns and converts 4 tiles into red, targeting enemy strike tiles first. As you level up, it converts 7 tiles, targeting enemy strike and protect tiles first. So 10 green is a lot to get rid of people's special tiles, but you can do it.
Yeah, good for him for investing in the green AP market for a change.
But yeah, he's all about this yellow to black thing.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
Now, even though it seems like everybody's pretty down on it, when his yellow is cranked up, does that affect him as well? His match damage or just his team's match damage?
It says teammates.
Oh, well then.
I did not think to ask Patch that earlier.
How dare you?
I would think that it would affect him as well, but I think it would affect your entire team. I don't know.
Someday Patch will listen to this show. He'll get back to us.
He was on last week.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I don't know. It looks like a 4-4-5 to me. Because I like the idea of getting, you know, possibly getting rid of strike and protect tiles with that green. I'm not enthusiastic about the red, but level 4 on yellow seems really important. Increasing that match damage by 75% each time?
Yeah, you have to have that. That's a must.
Right.
I just don't know that the extra, I don't know, it might be better to have the extra board shake as opposed to the little bit more.
Yeah, it's a valid argument.
The one more red repeater tile.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably go 3-5-5, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. You don't get a whole lot of damage from going level 3 to 4 with that red. So, yeah, who cares? Yeah, valid point.
All right. So he's going to have the Incendiary Cyclops cover store. Because he's red hot. Sexy Slim. Starts February 11th at 7 a.m. Ends on the 21st. That will get you a chance to get Scotty number 5. Increased chances in 10 and 40 pulls. The Scott Summers Limited Vault runs the 18th to the 22nd. 40 items in there. One Eye in the Sky Legendary Store token. One Love Sausage and a bunch of 3 stars and other stuff. The Eye in the Sky store is the 21st to the 25th. This is the store to spend some stuff on, kids. 15% chance to get you Scotty number 5 and Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, my.
Also some Jean Grey, but more importantly,
right,
Beta Ray Bill. So I'll probably spend a bunch of CP on that one.
I might spend a couple as well.
Those tokens, 25 CP each. He'll debut, as we said earlier, Hearts of Darkness, as a placement reward. That's running the 11th to the 15th. And introducing Cyclops, you get those shards. That runs the 11th to the 18th. Featured in Meet Rocket and Groot, which runs the 14th to the 18th as a progression reward. Progression reward for 5-star, that's always nice.
Yeah.
Versus Tournament in PvP matchmaking. I hate that term, that one. That runs the 11th to the 15th. He's in there as a placement reward. And his event is called Fire and Eyes. Yeah, made me laugh. That also runs the 14th to the 17th and rewards tokens to that Cyclops cover store. So there you go. Phoenix 5 Cyclops.
He looks like he's going to hit the ground running. Like, he looks like a decent character.
Yeah, it can be interesting. Any other news? Keeps snowing.
Oh, there it's was not something snowing else.
Here. Whoa, what else is that?
So I saw this, and I'm sure you guys might have seen it as well. And then I saw it posted on Reddit. It looks like they're cycling in new daily missions. So there were missions to match different colors. You had to make like 15.
Yeah, yeah. I got one of those.
Yeah.
Yep. I got all of those. I think I got like green, black, and something else.
They seem to be completely individualized. So, you know, not two people don't get the same missions. But yeah, I got like 3 of them today. So
I agree.
Yeah. Big thumbs up for me. That's cool.
That was a fun surprise.
Do you guys remember the old woman who lived in Pine Grove Mills here and got murdered a couple years ago?
I heard this story. I don't know why. See, anybody who's listening to this podcast is now going to think I'm weird. Did you hear about this woman that got murdered? And I start laughing.
Wow. I thought he was going to – I didn't know what the segue was going to be because it was really, like, dragging it out. I thought he was going to tell me about the old woman who lived in a shoe, but it was not.
No. I did hear the story, though, but go ahead.
I feel like I did.
Well, it has been.
Did you drive me over there? Did she used to live by your friends?
If you remember where Hillary lived with that when you went to that party, she lived down the street.
Yeah, no, I think I've been up there. Yeah, because it was really. Did something happen? Was there a break in the case?
There was. The guy who killed her finally confessed that he killed her.
Oh, that's a huge break.
And his rationale pretty much was, I was having a midlife crisis and I just thought I'd kill her. You know, so I shot her twice and I cut off her oxygen.
I liked his original story. I dropped the gun and it went off. And then I picked up the gun and tried to clear it and it went off again. Shot her twice. Yeah, everyone's buying that story.
It's super not funny.
It's slightly funny because the guy has like a weird like mummy fetish. Like this guy was like in his 30s. This woman was in her 60s and they were dating.
Oh, I thought you meant like a mummified corpse.
Well, he did. No. He did mean that.
How?
No.
No. I'm joking.
Not M-U-M-M-Y.
No. Just that he was into much older women.
Oh. You know, what are you going to do? Who's having a midlife crisis at 30? Come on. Get it together, dude.
In any case, so yeah, break, you know, it's not often we get murders here in this part of the world, thankfully.
But
so,
yeah. You know, and
when there's a break in a case, that's good.
Yeah, as completely, like, unsolved as that was. Like, that went down, and you're like, yeah, murder. And I was like, oh, what happened? And they're like, we don't know. No one has a clue. Not a single good possible guess. It was just a complete mystery. It was Ray Grecar all over again.
That guy is still living in Argentina.
State College go unsolved?
Because that dude's living in Argentina, hiding out from the Russian mob.
With Cindy Song?
No one ever knows. No one's ever going to find out what happened to her.
I know, because all State College murders that don't involve falling out of a balcony go unsolved.
That's mostly true. Except when people used to get stabbed down at Club Love.
Yeah. Right, that one was...
They caught those people every time.
Right.
Didn't you guys call that club stabby or at some point?
Yeah.
Sure. It happened, you know, when multiple people keep getting stabbed in the same place, you know, it gets a reputation.
Club Love turns into Stabbies.
Yeah. What a great name for a bar. Let's get out to Stabbies.
What a terrible segue into the next segment.
Well, speaking of Stabbies...
Speaking of Stabbies...
One of the main characters was featured stabbing someone else. Ian, what's the top three this week?
Oh, I was like, that was a real stretch. That was a good Craig-style clue.
That was a perfect clue.
You're the worst. Oh, man. I can't believe we let you host this show 280 times.
I haven't.
I know. I'm sure
somebody's going to point it out.
It's more like 200. Still, you would think we would have learned. Anyway, we were exploring the top three Simpsons characters. Now, again, there is a vast list to choose from, and at least for my list, I would say that I intentionally overlooked some top-tier characters.
I would say,
you know, there are some very main characters that absolutely are incredible and keep the show rolling along, but mine are all slightly fringier.
And I do have to, I want to throw out an apology for Stink Palms not understanding that we were doing the SNL every other week, because he commented on how SNL from the 90s. And yeah, we're not doing that this week, so...
Tune in next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll hook you up. Don't worry. I guess I don't keep track of who starts. So if anybody's being excluded, I apologize. So I'll go with my number three. I was toiling over this one for a while. But I can't get past my love for Ralph Wiggum. Ralph Wiggum is a ridiculous character.
You choose me?
See, he walks away with so many fantastic one-liners.
Me fail English? That impossible.
That's impossible.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
He really does. That's some exceptional writing. And he's always, he's never not funny. I've never been like, oh, that was a real downer that Ralph was in that episode.
He's like the Butters of the Simpsons. Always love Butters. So I'm going to go second because my number three is Ralph Wiggum.
Nice.
Nice.
I love me some Ralph Wiggum.
He's good times.
Sorry, I like this. As usual here in the Discord, some excellent GIFs always, or little memes pop up and it's Ralph going, hi, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
All right, my number three is, hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from some top three lists as top three Simpsons characters. Every time there's an appearance of Troy McClure, it makes me smile.
It does. Like his intermittent appearances still had tons of depth for some reason, and I just, it was so
like, it's
well
the same
done.
Shtick every time. But it kind just of, always makes me smile. Like, it just...
They explored him in a lot of... He had a fish fetish, Craig. Like, that's really specifically in depth for just a little side character. I loved him as well. He didn't make my list, but I totally get it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Troy McClure.
Sorry, I was thinking about Troy McClure and his... was his Broadway version of Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius.
My number two.
Dr. Zaius.
Along the same lines as Ralph Wiggum, I love Professor Jonathan Frink.
Professor Frank, he'll make you laugh, he'll make you think, he'll
almost
do the thing
segment.
With the person.
Yep.
And the thing. That monkey's going to pay.
Oh, man, I threaten that monkey a lot because of Professor Frank. But, yeah, his inventions are ridiculous. all of his attempts to solve problems with ridiculous science makes me happy. So, yeah, Professor Frank, number two.
All right. Well, we're not going to match 100%, although he was definitely on my honorable mentions. Jonathan sure. IQ Nerdlebaum Frink Jr. But my number two is a different doctor. Actually, they never called Frink was Frink a doctor or was just a professor?
No, he's Professor Frank.
Yeah.
So my number two is a doctor Dr. William McDougall, also known as Groundskeeper Willie.
Groundskeeper Willie. Yeah. You know, they've got Groundskeeper Willie teaching French.
Do they?
Bonjour, ya cheese-eating surrender monkey.
Oh. Sorry, he's a solid character.
I love me some Groundskeeper Willie. The fact that they made him a doctor at one point, and he's the buffest character there is.
He is.
Yeah, every time he pulls off his shirt, he is just ripped.
His complete intolerance of Skinner and his shenanigans is fantastic.
All right. My number two, I went to a mainstream character, really.
Yeah.
One of the actual Simpsons. One of my favorite characters has always been Maggie Simpson.
Oh, bold choice. I feel like you're joking.
No, absolutely not. I love Maggie Simpson. No more character gets more things done and accomplished and conveyed while speaking no lines.
That's fair.
Well, than Maggie. Odd,
but it's fair.
I had assumed you had seen the Maggie dolls I have here at my house. So,
no.
But apparently not.
That doesn't immediately ring a bell.
Okay.
You send me mixed messages about Tchotchke, so that's I don't know how to deal with you when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, she was always my favorite actual Simpson.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, that took me out of my groove. I like it, though. That's fine.
I'll win you back with number one.
Okay. My number one, I would say, and I'm surprised at this myself, but after some toil and I went over it and over it, I think my number one is Rainier Wolfcastle.
Nice.
Wow, okay.
I think that the McBain movie series is one of my favorites. And the episode where he has his own late night talk show, absolutely spectacular.
When he up has, and at them.
When he has, nice jacket, Scoey. It makes you look like a homosexual. And then they all boo him, and he's like, "Ha, huh, what's wrong? Maybe you all are homosexuals." Oh, late night with McBain.
That he was in my honorable mention. Was Rainier Wolfcastle. I love Rainier Wolfcastle. Ray, what you got?
What do you got? All right.
So my number one, voiced by, this doesn't limit it in any way, but voiced by the incredible Hank Azaria.
Hey. Well, yeah, now we're down to 50 characters. Yeah.
I love this character every time they're on. So sad, and yet, I don't know, everything that, he's like my animal,
Your spirit animal.
Mo Sizlak.
Oh, that's good. Okay, I wasn't sure where you were going. I thought you were going to choose Gil for a minute, but...
I've been called ugly, pug ugly, fug ugly, pug fugly, but never ugly ugly.
Hey, my number one is also Mo Sizlak.
Nice.
I love Mo.
He's amazing. His schemes... Didn't he have illegal the flaming, pandas flaming in the Mo's
were fantastic. The episode where he has to make his bar into a kid's restaurant and he will serve you French fries off his head with like sparklers and stuff going on. And the hot grease is like frying his brain. And he's like, please kid, eat faster. This is really painful. And the kids eat like one French fry at a time. I love
Mo. Double win with Mo and Mo. Good job. That was good. Yeah, the only person I have on my honorable mention list, because he is such a fringe character, is the Bumblebee guy.
That's pretty fringe.
Oh, un gato marronero! Oh!
I do have another honorable mention that I almost threw out Ralph Wiggum to put on. Jeffrey Albertson. Worst character ever.
Ever.
Oh, comic book man.
The comic book guy.
Yeah.
But I've known too many comic book people who act exactly like that, and it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
It features a very rare Mary Worth where Mary consoles someone to commit suicide.
That show, splendidly written. Totally
and,
old
and, you know, if you wait long enough, foretells all the future.
It does. Some of them are fine. Some of them are just coincidences. The episode where Lisa becomes president after President Trump, and she goes, well, how's the economy doing, Secretary Van Houten? We're broke. I was like, wow, that's incredible. That was that one. All the other ones, I'm like, I can see how you can fit it in. But that one cracks me up.
Yeah, good old The Simpsons. What a good show.
Yeah.
All right. We're all learned up on Simpsons. Ian, what's the trivia?
Oh, my goodness. I got notes everywhere. I don't know. Let me see. I don't even remember what I asked. Let's see. Was it this note? Nope. Is it this note? Nope. Let's assume that last week, because I got a direct message from Perondiac, and I asked you about Black Widow's alternate identity when Tony first meets her.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yes, and it's Natalie Rushman.
Oh, did not know that.
She introduces herself as Natalie Rushman. And Perondiac and many others were completely correct. Now, last week, I promised Craig that I would do one that is significantly easier. So, this one is easy to the point where it borders on lazy, and the answer can easily be found here in the Marvel Puzzle Quest game. But the trivia question is, what is Valkyrie's scrapper number?
Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
Again, if you... I realize this is a Marvel Puzzle Quest themed show, so that makes it much easier. I feel like it would be a trivia question if you didn't play this game. But you all have the answer, and I will share it with you next week.
Hey, Patch, now that you've joined, does 5-star Scott boost his own damage with that...
with his yellow?
Teammate yellow boost? Or does he only boost his friends?
It's gotta be both. It's gotta be.
See, I'm thinking it's only his friends, and then when he's by himself, he gets really angry.
Yep, and the black power kicks in.
It does the nuke.
That seems logical.
Hmm.
He says, un momento, por favor. He didn't, but that's what I'm right. saying.
In the meantime, Ray, what's going on with the mail? Something about Willy Lumpkin.
That was a weird intro, but okay.
I don't remember how to do it. I'm sorry.
First, I got an email from someone named Bonehand, who asked about 2-star recycling. He said, hey gang, longtime listener, first time caller, can you point me to where you may have discussed the pros and pro tips of 2-star recycling? The answer to that question is no. I have no clue when we talked about it. We definitely did. We also put together, I put together a little bit of information about it. So if you go to puzzlewarriors3.com and click on the character powers and Craigisms link at the top of the page, it'll take you to a page where I just throw together a lot of references. And near the bottom of that is a section called Do the Math, 2-star characters, and it lists out the cost and your benefit of recycling a 2-star character as opposed to just selling the covers. And the end all is, if you were to just sell the covers for ISO, you would get roughly 90,000 ISO for just selling those covers instead of building a character up. But because of the champion rewards and the different things that you get from actually building the character, you actually earn 65,000 ISO from that. So you're only losing like 25,000 ISO, and then if you throw in the fact that you get heroic tokens and 3-star covers and hero points and command points, really, you're only losing out on 5,000 ISO to gain you command points and hero points and everything else. So it really is worth it to keep up a 2-star farm and just keep those characters cycling back and forth. Like I said, the math and the information is on the website, and I know we discussed it in an episode, but I have no idea how to look that up. So you can check out the webpage.
No, I know the answer for Ian is no, but Ray, do you keep 2 of every 2-star?
2 of every 2? No, I only keep 2 of the 2-stars that I use every day. The others I just cycle.
Yeah, like I keep one character at full levels all the time and then keep a second one until it gets the max and then I sell it.
Yeah, I get that, but it takes too many slots for me. And I really only need the 3 2-stars, so I only keep them at max.
I was going to say, I do it the same, I assume the same way Ray does it. I keep 3 championed 2-stars and then just let the covers build up on the other ones. As soon as someone hits 144 and I get one more cover for that person, I sell them. Re-roster them, and then whoever has the most saved covers on them becomes the next champion.
Oh, so you actually cycle who you keep saved off.
Who I'm using?
That you're using.
Yes. My active 3 is different all the time.
Interesting.
So, for example, today I got, you know, Magneto was at 144. I got one more Magneto cover. I immediately sold him, re-rostered him with one new cover, and then saw that Captain Marvel had like 35 saved covers on her. So she became the next champion and, you know, repeat process.
Yeah, Magneto is the one, and one of the ones I use every day.
Yeah, he is for me as well.
Yeah, all it was right. Good. He and I had a good run, but we'll get back together again soon.
Yeah, it's just a constant cycle. All right, over to the comments on the D3 forums. TJR author says, do we really need a third Cyclops? No, I think more highly of Scott than Craig does, as all people who aren't evil and crass believe. But we need another Cyclops before we need our first 5-star Batroc. Batroc would easily
trolling
kick
of the highest level.
We would easily kick the taste and power out of Scott Summers with a style and a plum. Viva la Batroc.
And then would instantly get vaporized by an optic blast.
Well, that is true. Tiger Wong responded, I don't want Batroc. I want Cyclops. All right, straightforward.
I want neither. But
now that I see his powers, I too want Cyclops. Storm of Fire said, I would like to thank last week's top three kitchen appliances for introducing me to the concept of making smoothies with an immersion blender.
Hey, you're welcome.
I do not live in a big enough household to ever merit getting out the big blender for a smoothie, but the immersion blender for like one and a half glasses, very doable. So there you go.
I'm here to help.
See, I've got one of those like super single use blender things, like, you know, it's got like the long metal stick with the little wheel at the bottom that's really only used for making milkshakes.
What do you think an immersion blender is?
I don't know. An immersion blender is like a
it's
big
exactly
stick with blades
the thing
at the
you
bottom.
Described.
No, this is called like a drink master or something like that.
Oh. Is this like an infomercial knockoff of an immersion blender?
No, it's nothing like it. This predates immersion blenders by like decades.
Why do you have one and what is it? I'm not understanding.
Because I used to really enjoy making milkshakes and this is how I made milkshakes. You remember you go to like the... Here. The,
how
yeah.
new do you think an immersion blender is?
This is not an immersion blender. I'll put it in the chat.
That's fine. Oh, that's a beater.
I didn't put that there.
Oh, okay.
That thing is not an immersion blender.
No, because immersion blender's handheld.
Yes, this is a drink master. That's what okay. I'm talking about. It's the Hamilton Bench drink master. They've been around forever.
The thing yeah. that came out before we knew immersion blenders were going to be a thing.
Right. It looks like a KitchenAid-style immersion blender with a big stand.
It's got Why the big metal cup that you make milkshakes in. It's yeah. fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
It seems a little bit, you know.
Seems bulky and inefficient, but it looks like
yes,
a cool appliance.
That's where I was going. Yes.
Yeah.
The immersion blender seems a little bit more dynamic.
Once you pour that milkshake out of that ice cold metal cup, though, it makes all the difference.
That does help.
All right. Storm of Fire also said that I would like to thank Samurai for the infographic being a record of the crashes. I had to use them to update my crash spreadsheet, which I had to do since the order now includes the in the alphabetical order instead of ignoring it like it did previously. Also guest Natalie Rushman, so correct guess, but apparently knew that answer because of fanfic where Tony keeps bringing up her deception. Apparently there's fanfics where Tony keeps bringing up the fact that she was, you know, lied and said she was Natalie Rushman, but does have the same initials NR. So
sure. So also in the mail, yellow does not affect Cyclops himself. It only affects his teammates.
There yeah, you go.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It kind of makes sense. I just wished it, you know, I wanted right. it to affect him as well.
For sure. And a follow up. You are correct about that, Craig. How important is it that the waiter brings you that metal cup and leaves it next to your milkshake that's in a glass?
Oh, my God, like, that makes it so much better.
It does! Very. 1,000 times better.
Like, you're going down they? You're going down to Babies, and you get that right. black and white shake.
Yeah.
And they bring it over, and they fill you up the glass, you know, milkshake cup. You know, that special kind of shape milkshake cup thing, right? And then, they you know, there's always an extra, you know, half a glass or so still in that metal cup. Oh, yeah, that's where it's at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because you know when they pour it into the cup, that all that delicious malt had already settled on the bottom,
yeah, that's
and
right.
it's not going to make its way into your shake, so you got to scoop it out anyway. Of course, yeah. Mm.
Oh man, I miss a good malt.
Couldn't agree more. So Patch also did say it also changes the base damage for his allies, so it can make his allies tank over him, which that makes sense.
Sure.
All right. Moving on to Zootsacks. It's always nice to hear about, or a shout out to MST3K and Riftrax. I champed Mysterio largely because of his being the closest proximity to Tom Servo in this game. That was pretty good. And Samurai commented on the SNL piece from the late 80s. He says his favorite was John Malkovich's You Mock Me. I have to be honest, I don't think I ever saw that skit until you posted it in Reddit. I just watched it for the first time today. It was pretty funny, although it felt dated in a way, but it was pretty good. He says,
I also don't know it, but I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Is this the And I Will Not Be Mocked?
Yes, I Will Not Be Mocked.
And I Will Not Be Mocked! Mock, 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 mock.
Meanwhile, he's being mocked constantly behind his back. Yeah. My favorite from the early 80s was a bit with Tim Kazurinsky, later Sweet Chuck from Police Academy, as a VFW officer and Eddie Murphy as a reggae artist. He sang a song called Kill the White People and horrified the VFW crowd, with the final line of the chorus being, but buy my first album, but buy my album first. You're pulling up references I've never seen. So
yeah, right. This does not ring a bell.
I like that, though. It sounds like a deep cut, and it sounds like it's funny.
Yeah, so he put links in his Reddit post. So you can go
I
like check that
I
out.
Had no idea who he was talking about, and then as soon as you said Sweet Chuck from Police Academy, I was like, oh, that guy. What a life. He probably has so many accomplishments, and all I know is he was Sweet Chuck from Police Academy.
Well, you gotta remember
a franchise that had at least 5 movies too many.
Well, yeah.
Hard to say. Yeah, you're right. It kind of went downhill after 4.
Citizens on Patrol.
That was 3, wasn't it?
Wasn't that 4?
Maybe it was. Well, it's 3 then. The 3 is the one where they busted out Sweet Chuck and Bobcat Goldthwait as characters.
Yeah,
4, you're right. 4, okay. So then 4 was where it kind of, the high water mark hit.
I would argue that the high water mark hit on 1.
I'll stick with the first one being the best one of the group. But
No, Citizens on Patrol was great. But I mean, it was as good as 1 and 2 and 3. Like 5, it just went downhill from there.
Once, Carrie Mahoney quit making the show, it started going downhill, man.
All right, that's it. That's all I got in the mailbag.
Thanks, Willie. All right, then. Once again, I'm Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just want,
we just want to pump
you up. He didn't clap.
I don't clap anymore. I don't even try. It hurts my hands. Let's see what's going on. I forgot to get ahead of this. So here I am. And of course, every time I'm like, I'll just look when we're gone. I'll do it live. Do it live.
We're doing it live.
I run into Angel and I'm like, I don't know what you do.
Is he boosted like every other week?
He seems to be boosted a lot because I don't know. Either that or I'm conflating him with Gambit, who I also don't immediately remember. All because they're relatively new and I just, didn't get a chance to play with them. I'll tell you about Deadpool, though, because everybody likes Deadpool. As far as team-ups go, everybody wants a 3-star Deadpool.
Oh, no!
But when he's boosted, I think he'll get more healing from his black, and he should get more AoE damage from his purple, assuming that you only drop one whale and not all of them. The Iron Fist is boosted, the world's greatest martial artist. The damage and the strike tiles from his green will be boosted. The damage from his purple will be boosted, as will his attack tile that he puts out. That will be stronger, too. Mohawk Storm. She puts out a lot of attack tiles. They should all be marginally stronger. I feel like the damage done from her green also, from the tiles being destroyed, I feel like they generate damage and AP. So, probably more damage. And lastly, Gray Suit Black Widow. Her green AoE does a pretty solid amount of damage for 3-star land, as does her red pistol attack. Now, here we go. 4 stars. See what's going on here. 4-star Captain Marvel is boosted when her the strike tiles that she puts out with her photonic barrage will be even larger, and they're already large. And she does a ton of damage when the photonic barrage counts down to 0. So enjoy that while she's boosted. As well as if you match up the strongest colors with the opposite team, that green AoE will be increased. Elektra, she's boosted. Her damage from Ballet of Death will be boosted. The little bit that she reflects from Shadow Step will be boosted. And the strike tiles combined with the buffing of strike tiles will be see some increased effect. 4-star power man Luke Cage is boosted. His bunch of Fittifaddle will do just awesome damage at both tiers, at the 18k tier and the like 30,000 kit tier. Those defender tiles, the protect tiles that he puts out, will be stronger. And if you have Iron Fist along the other protect tile that he puts out, will be good. Also, he does a little bit of damage with his yellow. But yeah, man, that red, too much damage. Let's see what we got here. Oh, Misty Knight, she's boosted. I remember her. She seems nice. Her green damage is increased. Her yellow friendly, her yellow special tiles are better, and the burst health is better. And she puts out some attack tiles with her blue, also boosted. And one of Craig's all-time favorites, the War Machine, is boosted. His red, blue, and green damage will all be boosted, and he makes some red attack tiles, which will see an increase in effectiveness this week. Let's see. Let's go over and see what Samurai has to say about these boosted characters. If you are using the 3-stars, Iron Fist and Storm, the Iron Fist can make a lot of black, and then she can use that to fire off lots and lots of attack tiles. And if you're doing 4-star, all those countdown tiles that War Machine generates will help out Carol. And she makes countdown tiles too, so they can get together and have lots of flying countdown tiles. And then she'll actually just do all the work and destroy everybody herself. So, yeah. There's some good ones there. Luke Cage and Captain Marvel being the best of the bunch. So, yeah, this week it looks like there are some good boosted characters. Listen to me now and believe me later. That is who's boosted this week. Thanks, as always, to Mystify.
Mystify.
Gets more mystical every week.
Hey, Ian, in some news, I just saw Larry Flynt died.
I saw that today. That's some genuinely sad news. I feel like he lived a long, full life.
Not always good, but long.
I don't know. I mean, he was a real innovator. He was a great speaker. I saw him when he came to Penn State.
Yeah, but I mean, he also got shot and addicted to painkillers.
Right. Well, you know, he didn't go out hoping to get shot. So, yeah, I feel bad that someone else made a terrible choice to try to kill him. But, yeah, that's a bit of a tough loss today. I agree.
Best role ever performed by Courtney Love, where she played herself. Let's head over to team up time.
Synergy segment featuring Ray.
Alrighty. So this week, I'm kind of surprised I didn't already have this in my list. But so I was going through the list and looking at who I had not done any team ups with. And strangely enough, the one that I landed on will be boosted this week. It's Luke Cage Power Man. Apparently he's never been in one of my team ups, so I had to rectify that. Who else are you going to put him with than the 4-star Iron Fist? And because it's a node in a node that we have all complained about previously, throw in Mockingbird. As it turns out, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Mockingbird is a really effective team. Like you said, Fiddlefaddle is where it's at, but if you're using Mockingbird, Fiddlefaddle costs 13 red. Bombshell only costs 9. It does.
Oh, and that does incredible damage.
It does really good damage. So, in my mind, you're going to be using Bombshell more often. So, I actually run
absolutely
Luke Cage at a 5-5-3 because you just max out his yellow and black. Mockingbird is also at a 5-5-3, and Iron Fist at a 3-5-5. Iron Fist and Luke Cage, I mean, it's just their synergy is just. They're made for each other, quite literally.
It is. It's true. I agree with you as far as the damage and the cost. I feel like the discount in Bombshell is because isn't it countdown tile dependent?
It is. It really is. And it puts two turn red countdown tiles right out. They are fortified, and when they go off, if the other one exists, that you remove them both, and it deals a massive amount of damage.
Yeah, all right. Fortified's pretty strong, unless leery.
And with the other two, I'm pretty sure I don't remember where, but they refortify special tiles. Hero for Hire can fortify special tiles at least.
Yep.
So it's pretty strong, and you throw in the fact that Mockingbird's purple can generate AP for you in your strongest color. So it makes firing it off a little easier. And then you've got, you know, like unto iron to just absolutely crush somebody with your iron fist. So
yeah, the damage output on that team seems spectacular.
Yeah.
Along with Power Man's defender projectiles, which are, they soak up a lot of damage.
Yeah. And he reduces other, you know, he's in front a lot. He'll reduce the enemy tiles as well. So
yes,
it's a really decent team. If you're in four star land, it's a good way to go. So there you go. That's your team up this week. If you do have a suggestion for a team up segment, send it to me, email, Reddit, whatever is easiest for you. And thanks as always to Unify.
Unify.
He is not human. He is like iron. Ivan Drago punch him for 45,000 PSI.
Hey, at least you didn't scream it this time. I'm appreciative of that.
Yeah. Her delivery was just as good the way you chose to deliver it. I'm going to...
Let's open up some tokens.
Yes. Token opening. I'm going to get right to it before this game crashes this recording and ruins everything. But I'm less ready than I thought because I was super leery. I did open up a token earlier today. I decided I would treat myself to the Other Vault Classic Legends. I got a 5-star Pepper Potts. I was happy. But let's see who I get today. See if I can't fish out some more Magneto.
She's stronger than I initially gave her credit for. She is not bad.
It's not Magneto. It is, you guessed it, Hellcat. Cat-like reflexes. I'm sure that will benefit me. Indeed it does. Takes her to a 1-0-1.
Let's not go crazy, Wayrith. I didn't say I was happy about Rescue. I said she's better than I initially gave her credit.
I think Ian said he was happy about Rescue.
Oh, okay.
I was happy about getting a Rescue. I was like, hey, I like Pepper.
All right, I got 5.
I like black pepper. I like white pepper. Mmm, pepper.
Am I going? You going?
I've only got 2. I'll just get out of the way here.
Okay.
First one. Hey, it's a Magneto. Age of Magneto.
Nice.
Magnetic Inhibitor. Number 2. The Totally Awesome Cho. Hot nice. Dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog.
All right, like I said, I've got 5. I'm going to really be hoping for some Yellow Jacket here. The first one's a 4, Shuri, Twin Blasters. Number 2 is Venom, Old School Venom. Number 3 is Emma Frost,
the White Queen.
4 stars. We got an Anti-Venom to balance out my Venom. And finally, yep, all 4 stars. Infinity War Black Widow, Defilade. Little sad, but okay.
Right. Always looking on the bright side. Wayworth wanted to remind you that Emma Frost champs to a Kitty and Shuri champs to a Koye, so that's a little bit good.
Sure. Those aren't characters I'm looking for, but sure.
I hear they're both popular.
Yeah, they are. They're really good.
I hear that Royal Talent Fighter really goes well with a Koye.
Thanks, as always, to this guy.
This guy.
What's on the podcast network?
So many episodes, and I still point at myself with both thumbs every time I say this guy. Oh, it is called the Soon to Be Named Network. The website is soontobenamednetwork.com. There you will find this podcast, along with several others, working together to bring you quality entertainment, along with a complete archive of all of the past shows. Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com.
Anything else for the good of the order?
So my Shuri, that Shuri cover got me some Okoye shards, which gets me another level on my Okoye, so I can't complain too much.
All right.
I got nothing. I'm totally satisfied, dude.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. PuzzleWarriors3.com. Comment, suggestions, you know the drill. Click that Amazon banner, heterocafepress.com. Buy some stuffs. Goodbye for now. Remember, kids, live from New York, it's the 90s.
Yeah.
The joke's getting old.
No.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, friends.
Good night.